Do you ever feel like this whole world's got too complicated? I mean, it just everything, red tape. It just drives me crazy, people trying to get surgeries, and there's so much red tape to go through, and you got to satisfy this with the insurance company. You got through all these other series of things before you can ever get down to where the need's at, you know. And just so many other things, all kind of paperwork everywhere you go, and everything you do, you have to have that. And I was doing something here a while back, and it was just all kind. It was just something simple. I forget what it was. I had to have my ID and all kind of stuff to do it. And I thought, my, this is so complicated. Look with me, please, in your Bible, in the book of 2 Corinthians, and look at chapter 1 and verse 12. Just one verse here. Then I'm going to have you turn over to chapter 11. For our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. Paul said that he served God in simplicity and godly sincerity. Turn over to chapter number 11. Chapter number 11. I also just read a verse here and look at verse number 3. Listen to what he said. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simple. It's supposed to be simple, clear. Not that it's awesome, not that it's beyond human comprehension, but it's to be simple. We have a gospel tract with our church name on it, called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for your mercy and grace. And I pray, God, for your, Lord, help me to have clearness of thought. I pray, God, that you'd help me to share, Lord, what you've laid on my heart. And our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, the message will go into hearts. I pray that we as Christians would learn, our Father, to live simply, that we should worship and serve you in simplicity and godly sincerity. And I pray, God, now that you'd speak to hearts, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago now, I began to think about how complicated things were getting. When I was growing up, you could go buy a fishing rod at a hardware, or the Western Auto. You could even order it out of Sears Roebuck catalog, anywhere else. And there weren't but three or four things to choose from. Wasn't many baits. There was a hula pop, a jitterbug, a Johnson Silver Spoon. And if you had that, you can go fish all day long. But now there's 10,000 different baits, colors, sizes, all kind of rod and reels, and just so complicated, blow your mind. And I remember saving up through my high school years to buy a Fluger Supreme. We ordered it out of a catalog. I don't remember if it was Sears Roebuck or what it was, but I saved up all those years to get it, and I kept it up until when I was pastoring in Pensacola, Florida, and somebody broke in the garage there and stole my Fluger Supreme. I wasn't even using it. I done kind of retired it, but I'd rather have that than anything else had. But now there's so many, and they don't cost what that one cost, I guarantee you. Some of them $300 or $400 or $500. But things are just too complicated now. You know, there's a little saying that used to in business, and when we had our Christian school, and I went to Accelerated Christian Education Principal Training, and they started right off with this little thought, KISS, KISS. And the whole theme of it was this: keep it simple, stupid. Amen. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Don't complicate things. Have it just plain and clear. Make it simple. We've never been closer together, yet further apart in all our nation. Man, house upon houses, everybody. And it's just so much confusion, so much frustration. Man, the kids are here, there, and everywhere. Parents don't have time to think or pray or listen to the birds sing and even look at the star. The only time we pay much attention to the moon is when it's full, and it's there all the whole month, but we see it when it's full. But my dear friend, listen, this is all part of a plan. It's the devil wants to spoil you from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's a simple thing. Salvation is a simple thing. I love to hear Dr. B.R. Lakin. He used to be on the television show all the time when Jerry Falwell had his television ministry. He preached for Jerry a lot. And I've heard him live on two or three different occasions. But to illustrate the point of the wasted of words and mind, Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say this. He said, it's got so complicated now. He said, here's the way it's worded. It is evident from the vile odor emanating from the premises that there's a rodent that has expired and is in the process of decomposition. Let us locate the carcass and inter it promptly. You know what I said? I smell a dead rat. Let's find it and bury it. But he'd illustrate it that way. I love Paul Harvey. Didn't you love Paul Harvey? And Paul Harvey, man, he had such simple truths. And I never will forget it. And I wrote it right down just as soon as I heard it. Paul Harvey said he got a call from a veteran. And he's talking about the complicated business with veteran affairs and trying to get in the hospital and everything else. He said, I got a letter the other day from the Veterans Administration. He said, Mr. Harvey, I want to read part of it to you. Dear sirs, we have recently heard of your death. Therefore, your benefits have been suspended. If, however, your condition should improve, contact us and we will review your case. Are you kidding me? You know, I brought my grocery sack this morning. I had to decide if I want to go down there or stay up here, but I'm going to go down here because I want to hold it where you can see it. When God began to speak to my heart about this a good many years ago, one of the things that reminded me was my mama. Mama was, she's just an old country girl. But boy, she could make biscuits. I mean, she made great biscuits. But she told me when she was a little girl that all the flour came in sacks. Does anybody in here remember buying flour in a sack? Well, I'm young enough that I can even remember some of it. I'm old enough, rather. But Mama said they used to print them. They'd have like flowers and everything on it. And so what the old timers would do, they'd take, wash them out, take the seams out of them, make dresses, make clothes. Mama said her mama made her the prettiest little cotton dress you've ever seen out of flour sacks. She was so proud of it. She went to school and she had no more got into her class than one of the little girls said, that's made out of flour sack. And everybody began to laugh. And Mama said, I never had been so embarrassed to them all my life, but it was beautiful to me. And I got to thinking about that. And I borrowed one of Miss Regina's flour sacks. It was sitting on the table in there. And this is a 2-pound bag because modern day women don't need a sack. And this will do you 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 months. It's a flour bag. And I don't know what possessed me to do it, but I remember on the old flour sacks, it had one word, flour. Just flour. I counted the words on this yesterday. There's over 500 words on this bag to tell you in here is self-rising flour. Is this self-rising? This is all-purpose. On all-purpose flour. 500 words. And I got to looking, and it don't even tell you how to make a biscuit. All those words, how to make a banana cake, a banana bread, but there's no way to make it, wasting words. But then I got to think, well, what about it? And then I got to thinking about, we spent all this time sending kids to school. I got this out of the pantry this morning. This is a box of Lucky Charms. Could be cornflakes, could be Rice Krispies. But I counted the words on this box. There are 626 words on this box to tell you there's Lucky Charms in it. You don't have to buy them books. Let them read the cereal box. Not only that, but it is in Spanish and English. They get a foreign language. They learn the English language. And then I counted, and there are in here, there are 200 and something numbers on this box. All of that. Just to say they're Lucky Charms and all of this, about everything on there, and that was amazing to me. And then I got to thinking, you know, when you get ready to go fishing next time, guys, you ought to just read your lunch. Jimmy and I go fishing. Now, we don't ever quit whether biting or not quitting. He don't even hardly stop to eat lunch. But if you get tired of fishing, just read your lunch. Box of crackers, 150 words on that. And a can of Vienna sausage. Where did I write it? 421 words on this. This happens to be barbecue flavor. Vienna sausage. 421 words on there. Has anybody in here ever read a Vienna sausage can? Is anybody here ever planned to read a Vienna sausage can? I don't blame you. I'm going to pick on you this morning. I want you to get you to help me. You ain't got to do nothing. Just sit right there. But I can't see hardly the can. Let me see where I want you to read. I want you to read just those first few words right there where it says ingredients. You see it?
Are you talking about the chicken, pork, water, uh-huh, salt?
Right where?
Two or less.
Yeah, the first line right there. It's simple. You see it?
Are you talking about the chicken, pork?
Right here.
There.
See what it says, Claire.
Mechanically separated.
Wait a minute. Read it where they can read.
Okay. Mechanically separated chicken, pork.
Oh, that's enough. Potted meat is made out of mechanically separated chicken. Does that sound like roadkill to anybody besides me? But I love it. I do love it. I love it. And Gary Wood got out to me and said, you ought not to eat that stuff. It ain't good for you. And he went online and found out stuff where you go through it, and it said they emulsify the bones. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said that they take them, they grind them up, and so they just make, you know, there's bones in there. And I said, praise God. And he said, what are you praising God? I said, I'm getting calcium. I didn't even know it. A lot of young couples here. One of the greatest dessert ever invented was Jell-O. Jell-O. I love Jell-O. I like to put where you put fruit cocktail in it. But for the young mothers, you can't hardly beat this. But if you can't have children, you can't have a pet. Because if you read this box of Jell-O, it's 321 words on here. 321 words. I don't know why they're on there. Because you know how you do Jell-O? You put a cup of water in a pan, boil it, put this in it, pour it in a pan, put it in the refrigerator. 321 words they wasted. All that, if they could have put that on big bold letters, but they don't. They think we don't know anything. Have you ever, next time you go to Walmart, I didn't buy one, but go in and see if you can find an old-timey slinky. Old-timey slinky. On the slinky box, it says, there's a warning. It says, do not play with this in a moving vehicle. I don't know why that's in there. But there's a website for everything. I mean, they don't think we know how to do nothing. This is a moon pie. There is a website for moon pie that you can go to and learn all you want to know about moon pies. Now, I don't know why people have time to do that or why they won't do something that silly, that complicated. But my dear friend, the whole thing is just too complicated. And then this was the thing that got me more than anything else. I can see this without my glasses. Right here is a toll-free number. If you have any questions concerning the use of this product, you go to the website or you can call this toll-free number. But I got an idea, if you need that, you don't have time to call or either go to the internet. But things are just way too complicated. Everything, they got everything like that. But I want to tell you something. He said, I fear lest you be removed from the simplicity of Christ. I like things simple. And I'm glad he made this simple for us. The natural man can't receive it. The spiritual man can. In the first place, I believe in simple salvation. It's very simple. Not complicated. I got a library full of books. I mean full. Got them at the house. And I do look at them. I read them. I reference them. But it's very simple when it's all said and done. All. Say the word. All. How many is that? Everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's simple, isn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says the wages of sin is death. That's simple. What happens with sin? It causes death. Physical death and eternal death in a place called hell. Christ came. He was born. He suffered, he bled, he died, and Christ said that he came to give his life a ransom. And the Bible said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our sin debt. It was simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simple. Just call on him. So many times I've seen God do miraculous things. When I was pastoring down in Valdosta, Georgia, There's a couple that came to our church, Richard and Marianne Pace, and they got to visit in the church. She had been a Catholic. He had been everything you could ever imagine. He's trying to find the meaning of God in religion. And they got to come into the church, and I preached and shared the Word of God. And God was dealing with them. And finally, I asked, I'd like to come by your house and just sit down and talk to you. And so I went by and we began to talk, and they sat at the kitchen table. And I came around to the point, I said, would you like to know what the Bible says about going to heaven? And he said, I would. I said, I knew he'd been studying behind everything and everybody, and I knew she was a Catholic. Do you have a King James Bible? He said, I do. And he said, he went and got the Bible, and it was a large print, which was a blessing to me, and I was younger then than I am now. I sat there with the Bible in just a few minutes and told him exactly what I told you, the simplicity of the gospel. And when I got down to that place where it said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Richard began to weep. He began to cry. And I said, Richard, if you'll call on him, he'll save you right now, just as real as I am. And he asked God to save him. Well, I looked over at Mary Ann, and she was just radiant. She was rejoicing, and I was fixing to ask her. And I said, Mary Ann, have you trusted Christ? She said, preacher, last night. She said, all these years of studying the catechisms and everything else, I couldn't find him. But last night when I knelt by my bed, I asked him, Lord, please forgive me and save me right now. And she said, God saved her right then, and I could see it all over her face. But now here's the story. He said, I kept hearing you talk about the King James Bible, and I didn't have one. He said, I went to the bookstore and knew exactly where it was at. And he's like me. He looks for the discounts. He went back there, and there was a discounted corner. And he said there was a Bible there, and he said it had been imprinted, but the wrong name evidently put on it there, and a portion of it had been blocked out. And so he said, I bought it, got it for about half price. And he said, I didn't know it until I got home. And when he picked his Bible up and showed it to me, somebody had bought it, had ordered it, imprinted it. And when it came back, it was a big black big black King James Bible. And they had blocked out the last name, but the first name on it was Richard, his name, Richard. God gave his word to him, gave him a Bible with his name on it. And can I tell you, your name's on God's Bible. It's simple. He loved you and he died for you. Simple salvation. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just ask him. You've got everything to gain, nothing to lose. If you but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, you could be saved. But not only simple salvation, I like simple worship, don't you? Man, it's got so complicated, and I'm not picking on anybody, but man, it's a theatrical presentation, lights, sound, black ceilings, lightning, flashing, all those things. I love just hear a choir sing. I just love to hear people sing on the anointing of God, just good songs, just all those old hymns God gave them to us. But listen, the main thing is you worship Him in simplicity and truth. He said he's seeking such to worship him, those who will worship him out of their heart, and it'd be real to worship them. I know people put on all kind of airs, and I shared this story a long time ago, but I remember hearing about the old country boy, and he said that he just felt like his church, you know, they were doing the normal stuff and everything, but he thought they needed something just to, like Jimmy Wheeler would say, soup them up a little bit. So he went into town, and he went into one of these big churches with the stained glass windows and everything else, and he watched what they were doing and how they were having it. And he got back and he got his deacons together, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have us a real worship service on Sunday. And he noticed that all those people wore robes. And so he said he got in some bed sheets, cut a hole out of the center of it, put it over top of his deacons, had them back in the back. They all came in that service that morning, and that very religious service. They were playing a little music, and they came walking down the aisle. and they all had incense pots, and they spread across the front around there. And so he didn't have an incense pot, so he got some old tomato cans and put a candle in it and gave it to the deacons back there in the foyer. They got in and he said, "Brethren, we have met to worship today and adore the Lord. Be silent in his presence." And music began to play, and at that particular moment the deacons were supposed to come in. They were going to start that religious service, and as they were coming in the aisle, the preacher in horror looked, and he'd been kind of chanting everything, and he looked at them, and they did not have their incense pots, their tomato cans. And so he didn't want to disrupt the mood he'd already set, and he just chanted, and he said, "What did you do with the incense pots?" And the chairman of deacons, who was a spiritual man, said, "We threw them out the window when the bottom got hot." Just complicated. Old Bobby Robertson had an 8th grade education, built a church over in Walkertown, North Carolina. They ran about 5,000 or 6,000. God blessed him. He was just the simplest man. If he came and sat down in our fellowship hall, he'd be tickled to death eating just a tomato sandwich. He loved tomato sandwiches better than I do, I think. He'd rather have a tomato sandwich than anything. But old Bobby said he had a whole country boy to get saved in the church. And he said one Sunday morning, God just breathed in there. People were praising God and shouting, rejoicing, crying, and some singing. He said some of them were just waving their hands. And he said, and mixed all of that, he saw this old boy. He just got saved on fire for God. He sat down at the front, never had been in church, nothing. And Bobby said he'd come by me, clapping his hand, and went that way. Came back clapping his hand. He said, he was saying something I couldn't understand. He said, "I want to see what he's saying." And he said, "I got down. When he came back by the last time, he was saying, 'Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog.'" But it's from his heart. He was blessed. It was real. Worship ought to be simple. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. Just worship Him with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all of your soul, and rejoice in the Lord. You come into this place. What is worship? It's telling Him what He's worth. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. My dear friend, you ought to worship Him in simplicity. Just be thankful for what you've got. If you began today to begin to thank Him and praise Him in this place, we wouldn't get through before 4 o'clock this afternoon, let alone 12 o'clock. Just to thank Him for your family and for all that He's done for you and the blessings of God on your life, for everything He's ever given to you, and most of all, for salvation and the free pardon of sin. If we just told Him what He was worth to us and how much we loved Him. But not only simple worship and simple salvation, but I like simple praying. We used to have a fella at home. We had 9 cotton mills in our town, and then they built a big paper mill, and they just hired certain people and a certain level of skill and whatever. I don't know what the qualifications were, but anyhow, when they went to work at the paper mill, they thought they were a little smarter than all of us lint heads, people that worked in the cotton mill. And they kind of put a little airs. We had a fella in our church at the church I was attending at the time, and he tended to be a little religious anyway, but he got to praying. And he began to pray differently than he used to. And they'd call on him to pray, and he'd stand up and he said, "Oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, I pray today that Thou would cleanse me from all the superfluity of naughtiness and illuminate our minds." And I'd listen and pray that, and he prayed the same thing over and over again. "Lord, cleanse us from the superfluity of naughtiness and illuminate our minds." I don't know what happened to him, but one morning he prayed, and he prayed like this. He said, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, Lord God, I pray that You'd forgive us of all the superfluities of naughtiness, and today would You eliminate our minds." And I thought, that's a good thing, Lord. Eliminate our minds. Help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. But the thing is, you need to worship Him simply. He's a God who loved you and died for you, gave His Son for you, and you worship Him. Tell Him what He's worth to you. Come in here and magnify the Lord and be thankful. Don't have your mind on everything and everybody else, but to do that. But then I thank the Lord for simple worship. I thank the Lord for simple salvation. I thank the Lord for simple praying. I can't help but repeat myself by telling you about Miss Ella Peacock. Miss Ella got saved under our ministry and through the bus ministry down in Florida. She was an elderly lady when she got saved. She couldn't read. But as soon as she got saved, she didn't come many times to the services before she got saved. And she wanted a Bible. I I had already learned that she couldn't read. I'd go by to see her, and her Bible laying on a coffee table right in front of her. You could tell it began to be worn. You no doubt she was using it, but she couldn't read it. I was over one day, and she said, "Brother Bill, I know that you don't know why I wanted a Bible that I can't read." And she said, "You remember I wanted one written in red?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she opened her Bible up, and she held it out to me. It was all written in red on those both pages. And she said, "Right there, that red writing, isn't that Jesus talking?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "You know what? I'm sick a lot, and I stay up all night long. And I talk to him all night long. And that's him talking. And what I do is I lay it on my chest, and I talk to him, and he talks to me." That's simple praying. I remember when Ashley, my granddaughter, was a little girl, Regina and I would teach her to pray, share Bible verses with her. I'd go in and I'd say, "We're going to pray now." And I'd tell her to pray, and I'd lead her. When I first started, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And when she finished that little prayer, then I would pray, and I'd thank God for all His grace and mercy on her family, and ask God to bless us and so on, all those things. And one time we went in, and she had just been unusually hyper that night. And she got into bed, and I tried to calm her down, and I told her, fine. I said, "Let's just go ahead and pray now. Let's pray." And I said, "I'll lead you, and you pray first, and then I'll pray like we always do." She said, "Papa." I said, "What?" She said, "I want to pray myself." I said, "All right, you go ahead and pray yourself." Here's what she said. She said, "Hey, Jesus, listen to this. I can't even do it." She said, "Did you hear it? Thank you, Jesus, for teaching me how to snap my fingers. Thank you for a good day. Thank you for my granny and my papa. Thank you for all you've done for me." Boy, she prayed. She thanked God for everything that you could think about. And it just seemed like He was sitting there on the side of the bed with me. And she's just talking to Him. And she got through and she said, "Jesus, I think Papa wants to talk to you now." And I said, "Now lay me down to sleep." I realized I had never really prayed much. Prayer simple. Our Father, which art in heaven, you go to Him, you seek His face. It's simple. I love simple salvation, simple worship, simple service, just to serve Him simply, to live godly, to be a testimony for Christ. Every opportunity you have, tell people what Jesus did for you and that He'll do the same for them. That's what it means to love Him and serve Him and be a witness for Him and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But then lastly, I want to finish. I love simple dying. Simple dying. Truth is, everybody in this room is going to die or either go in the rapture. My pastor told me when I first started the ministry, 58, 56 years ago, 78, I don't know how long now. But he said, keep a record of every funeral you do and every wedding. I haven't done that. I wish I had, because I've had some memorable ones. Some of them I just, reminisce. I have in the last several years, keep all the family records and things like that, but I have never written them all down at it. But people die. No telling how many friends have died, gone home, be the Lord from this church since we've been here these almost 27 years now. But I like simple dying. I think the other day I related to you about when Ms. Mary Ann died. I was in the room with her by myself. I don't know how it happened. And I was holding her hand, and I watched the thing, the nurses around her and everything, and they'd all shaking their head. And I watched it, and I saw everything coming down, and then I saw the little line as it began not to make peaks anymore and just little waves, and then finally it was just straight. She went out to be with the Lord. When Ms. Deborah Tippett had her stroke, it went up and there, nothing else they could do. We'd all been in, Don and Melissa and Tippett Cynthia, all of them. We came back out in the waiting room. They had said, if you want to, they knew it was time, just go ahead and unhook everything. And so they said, just, y'all can go out and I'll call you back. And I went out and I could tell Donnie was fidgety. And I asked him, I said, you want me to go back there? He said, would you? And I said, yeah. And I went back and they did all they were going to do. And the only thing operating was the machinery they had on her. When they unhooked everything, it was instantaneous. She wasn't there. She'd already gone somewhere. She wasn't even in that room. And when I went back and told the family that they could come back, I told Donnie, I said, Donnie, she wasn't even there when I got back. She done gone be with the Lord. Like simple dying. Regina's granddaddy went out one morning and had one of those old-timey dusters where you can dust your plants with an insecticide and had a little garden, and he had one of those crank type. He went out and dusted his butter bean, came back, hung it on the barn, came up on their back porch where they had a little spigot, and he washed his hand, came in, and his Regina's grandma had his breakfast ready, and she said she turned around and set it in front of him. He bowed his head, folded his hands, and asked the blessing. And she said when she turned around to dishwash, she said she just heard a slight grunt, and never said nothing. And she turned around and looked, and he had his head bowed, and his eyes closed, and he was sitting, just leaned over just a little bit, like he was bowing his head, but he wasn't moving. He was dead. He died just like that. Never fell out of the chair, never fell over, never slumped over, anything. Well, what a thing to be able to bow your head and say, Lord, I want to thank you. And when you open your eyes, you're in heaven. That's simple dying. If one of you going to open your eyes somewhere, a rich man died, and in hell he opened his eyes, and he was in torment. Old Mr. Vivert opened his eyes and he was in eternal bliss forever and ever, simple dying. But if you're going to die simply, you've got to get saved simply. You're lost if you don't know Christ. Hell is your home. You'll be lost for all eternity. You can compare yourself to me or anybody you want to and say, I'm as good as they are. It don't make any difference. God looks on your heart. He knows you. But you can be saved if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on Him this morning. He'll give you everlasting life. It's simple. It's not complicated. He made it where whosoever will may come, and you do it today. Some of you, your life has got so complicated you don't have time to pray or read the Bible or do anything. I'm going to challenge you to see if you can't start unhooking some things and taking some time to go out at night, look at the stars, and thank Him that the heavens declare His glory. You got to take time. I didn't even deal with Bible reading, but you got to get in your Bible, read the Word of God. Just read it, saturate it. That's the best Bible study there is. Just fill your heart with it. Maybe God spoke to your heart about you. Everything's so busy. Meant to pray, but I was too busy. Meant to witness, but I was too busy. I was going to read my Bible, but things come up. Maybe you need to do a lot of that and get right with God. Would you bow your heads for prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, I am sure glad that You made it a simple salvation. There's no way it could ever be planned by humans, because humans would set a standard for salvation. But You said, whosoever will may come. You said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Your blood's able to cleanse them from all sin. It's simple. It is a free gift that has to be received, but it's very simple. God, I pray You'd help us that in our prayer life, in our worship, in our service, in our Bible study, our Father, we'd not let things get so complicated. Help us to learn to be able to read, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, help us be able to read Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, help us to just relish in the truth of the Word of God. Let not thy heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, for were not so I would have told thee. God, help us to learn just to enjoy the simple, wonderful spiritual truths of the Word of God. and then they'll love you and live it out every day. And God, you know what you want to do this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, I pray you do that now. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, would you please stand? This morning, Miss Jennifer's going to play. We're going to close the services like this morning. We're going to have a season of prayer in just a few minutes, and then we're going to take a special offering. But while she's playing, I want to invite you personally to come forward and trust Christ. I don't know what God's dealing with you about, what he's been speaking to you about, but every act of obedience, if you're in a service and God ever nudges your heart, he speaks to you, you need to respond. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but if God tells you to go to altar, you need to go to altar. God tells you to pray, you need to pray. It's simple. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Would you do that this morning? Would you trust him this morning? Would you allow him to have your to let him touch you this morning? Would you cast all your cares on him?